And welcome to Rod Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. This is a show where we want to challenge you, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think. And we're going to think about something that, I don't know, a little less serious, maybe less controversial than last week, but maybe it might be more controversial. You never can tell here on Rod Talk. And we'll get to tonight's topic here in just a moment. First, I want to remind you that we're taking your suggestions for Rod Talk. What would you like to talk about? What would you like to learn about? Send us an email, studio@m88.org, with your suggestions for Rod Talk. We'd love to know what you want to talk about so we can better serve you with this ministry. So let us know what you're interested in, and you can do that by sending us an email, studio@m88.org. Also want to thank everyone who came out and helped out with the clothing drive that we did yesterday at Fuddruckers. We got more clothes than we possibly could have imagined. Even had trouble getting them back. And so we appreciate your generosity, and I know God will bless everyone who was so generous yesterday. So thank you so much for making that a huge success. All of us who are involved with that remote were just blown away by the response, and we really appreciate that. We'll do another clothing drive again in February, so keep listening to M88 for more details about that. But again, just wanted to express my gratitude. I was amazed, and I was blessed by seeing how the body of Christ responded to that particular need. So that was really awesome. Well, tonight we're going to talk about humor. We're going to talk about laughter. And joining me is Kyler Black. He is the founder and creator of Inherit the Mirth. And I really appreciate you taking the time to join me tonight, Kyler.
Hey, thanks, Joe. It's good to be with you.
Yeah. Now, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about what Inherit the Mirth is and what its purpose is?
Well, it started just a few years ago, maybe about 3 years ago, Yo. I was a youth minister, actually about 6-7 years ago up in Canada, and would go into local Christian bookstores looking for resources, like any other youth minister would. And I noticed, you know, at one point, this, you know, huge bank of Christian greeting cards along one wall. So I would take a look at them, and, you know, and I thought, gosh, they're all kind of the same. I mean, there was certainly a market for them, but to me, as a, you know, an early 30-something at the time, I thought, yeah, you know, they're all sort of sappy and sentimental. They all had pictures of, you know, rainbows and butterflies and meadows and aww, lambs on them. And again, as I said, that's fine. There's a market for that. But I thought, there's not much here that I would want to send to my friends who are in their 20s or 30s or even teens. And I thought, why couldn't somebody come up with a line of greeting cards that was sort of like The Far Side meets the Bible? And I think a lot of people are familiar with The Far Side by Gary Larson, sort of an off-the-wall type of comic strip that's done very well. And I thought, why couldn't somebody do that, you know, and have a sort of a biblical sort of slant on that type of humor? So I looked around, and I realized very quickly that nobody was really doing that kind of thing. And I thought, well, maybe I'll give it a shot. I had a background in cartooning. I'd had a daily comic strip in a local newspaper from the time I was 17 to 23, and then later on, a few years later, was syndicated for a couple of years with a comic strip. And so I'd honed my skills all my life in terms of cartooning, and I thought I'd give it a shot. And so within a few years, in the interim, I'd moved from Canada to take a full-time youth ministry position at a church in Connecticut, where I presently am, and began this company called Inherit the Mirth just on the side. I was, you know, diving full time into the youth ministry, but it started up this little company first with a line of greeting cards that was quickly picked up by a publisher called Lawson Folly, which is sort of the second largest Christian greeting card company behind Dayspring. And it began as a line of greeting cards, and then started to take off with other licensing partners coming on board to produce magnets and postcards and posters and calendars, and recently a book, a cartoon collection from Zondervan called What's That Funny Look on Your Face? Red Letter 9, a Christian t-shirt company, has just come out with a line of t-shirts. And so it really started to snowball, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I had a chance right before Christmas to check out the book What's So Funny About Your Faith, and I loved it, man. When I saw that book, when I read through it and read some of the comics, absolutely, I was thinking, this is like a really funny Christian version of the Far Side. I mean, that's the best description I can give to it. And I bought several copies for my family because I knew they would dig it as well. They were opening up their presents on Christmas Day. And when they got to that one, all the present opening kind of stopped because everyone was reading all these comics. Oh, look at this one! Ah! And my mom was a little upset. I was like, come on, come on, let's finish Christmas. You can read the book later. Put the book down. And so, you know, it was a lot of fun, and it just struck me as like, man, this is really cool. This is fulfilling a need that I don't know if I really thought about was missing, you know, to have just really funny Christian comics. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, I should talk to this guy about what he's doing. And so, you know, I got in touch with you, and that led us up to this Raw Talk. So I appreciate you joining us tonight. And well, let's talk a little bit about the Christian and humor. Now, some of your humor, you know, it's all drawn from the Bible and whatnot. And as I was going through that, I thought a lot of the comics were hilarious. But at the same time, I was thinking, man, I wonder how some Christians would react to some of this. Because, you know, you kind of toe the line between sort of reverent and a little off color with some of the stuff that you do. And I find it hilarious. But what has been the response overall from Christians to your comics and how it kind of makes light of some of the beloved stories of the Bible?
Well, you know, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. I think I've actually had one negative comment in the 3 or 4 years I've been doing it, one email from somebody who had a gripe with one in particular that she thought was crossing the line. I think I've you know, learned how to be savvy enough to know when I really am crossing a line, and then I don't do that. I won't cross that line. But obviously, it's good from time to time, if I'm a little squeamish about an idea, to run it past other people and see what they think. But for the most part, I think I've got a humor intelligence that will allow me to know whether or not I think I'm going too far. Certainly, you know, the fact that Zondervan, the world's largest Christian publisher, publisher of Purpose Driven Life, and you know, Bill Hybels' books, and so many others, Max Lucado and whatnot, they wouldn't have, you know, taken a big gamble on me if they didn't think that I was, you know, for the most part, really appropriate to their target audience. So I think I do, you know, tend to stay on the safe line. But to me, it's certainly it's as much a ministry as a business, and if not more so. Because who knows, I may still not make, you know, a lot of money out of it, but it's already proven to be successful as a ministry. And I think both to Christians and those who are not Christians, and overall in the sense that I'm trying to show that Christians ought to be known for their sense of humor as much as anything. People outside of the faith, there's a stereotypical image of the Christian as being dour and sour and someone who you would not want to invite to a party because, you know, they would probably be sitting there in a corner drinking their ginger ale and condemning everybody who looked like they were having fun. And even Christians themselves. Christians themselves aren't necessarily feeling validated that they're allowed to have a sense of humor, that they can lighten up in their daily life as well as in worship. And so I really wanted to try to get across that that yes, they can, that I believe that God does give us license to be very joyful people because I believe that He is supremely a joyful being.
Well, if you have a question about this topic of the Christian and humor, what is the ministry value of humor and comedy? If you'd like to ask a question, share an opinion, 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. If you'd like to jump in on the conversation, ask a question of Kyler or myself about the whole idea of the comedic Christian, we'd love to hear from you. 505-338-5790. Now, Kyler, let me ask, since you have been in ministry as a youth minister and whatnot, now you're doing, you know, your Christian comic stuff. Why do you think there is that separation between church and humor? I mean, why is it that there's this? Why is there? Do you think this perception of okay, yeah, you can have fun, you can be funny, and yeah, but then it's ministry time. Time to put the ministry face on and let's get serious because this is ministry. And then after we're done with that, you can go back and have fun and be funny. I mean, why do you think there is that perception of the separation of the two and they can't mix?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it goes back to, you know, some sort of Puritan type, you know, disapproval of levity, of lightheartedness, that somehow the Christian faith, you know, always has to be very serious, that you're not allowed to smile. I don't know why that connection is there. There are probably church historians that could address that better, but, I mean, going back to Victorian times and the 1600s before that and beyond that, I know that Martin Luther addressed it at one point, and even he thought that people ought to lighten up more. But I don't know why that is, because I think it is so unlike unlike God to be lacking completely in mirth and humor. As I said, I think God is a supremely joyful being. I think his laughter permeates the universe. Somebody once said that there is not one shred of scientific evidence to prove that life is serious. And, you know, and I think that's true. C.S. Lewis, of course, he wrote a lot about joy, and he used to say that joy is the serious business of heaven. And you know, and I think that if we are made in God's image, then the fact that human beings have a sense of humor is indicative of our Creator, I think. Children are always doing funny things, intentionally or not, and Jesus, you know, he does tell us that if we're to understand God, if we're to understand our Heavenly Father, then we've got to become childlike. And I believe this includes sort of a childlike, youthful lightheartedness and sense of humor. In nature, let's face it, God's sense of humor is evident everywhere. I mean, look at the penguin or the giraffe or the chimpanzee or, you know, the tree frog. I mean, just so many creatures that you just look at them and you think, God had to be chuckling to himself when he created these things, you know?
Yeah.
I want to, you know, I don't know why it is that so many Christians look like they were baptized in lemon juice, you know? They're It's not the way it ought to be. I really don't think so.
Well, you know, when I was thinking about this, and again, this is not a topic that I've given much thought to, as probably a lot of Christians haven't given a lot of thought to when it comes to comedy and laughter. You know, that's not one of the deep theological issues of the Bible, and therefore, as Christians, we probably don't spend very much time thinking about it. But I was thinking about it, and, you know, it seems like one of those few areas where the church has just sort of let the world have its way with it, kind of like with sex. You know, we're kind of like, oh, we don't want to touch that. We won't mess with it. Yeah, we have this biblical guideline for it, but we'll just keep that to ourselves and, you know, we try not to get too involved with it. And then it's like the same with comedy. It's like, well, you know, in the world, that stuff is funny in the world. But, you know, here in church, we you know, it's got to be a little bit more serious. And it just seems like an issue that Christians have just kind of left by the wayside, you know, like, because it's not that important. And what is your vision through what you're doing with Inherit the Mirth for changing that kind of attitude? It's like, well, you know, comedy, it's not that big of an issue for a Christian.
Well, I don't know that the church, you know, in the long haul is going to survive unless we figure out how to recognize that there is a place for laughter and joy in worship. Of course, there are times when worship does need to be serious, when it does require a measure of somberness and gravity. Absolutely. But we need to find ways, I believe, to show the sheer joy of it. I think that that's going to attract people to our churches and to the Christian faith, in great numbers. If we show them that it can be a place of laughter. And I'm not trying to simplify the issue, but I know that. I know that there are a lot of children, you know, if they're introduced into church or they come to church and it's always kind of a humorless, dry sort of environment, it seems too separated from real life, in which, you know, moment to moment in your everyday living, there just comedy breaks out. You know, somebody says something, or somebody else, you know, slips on a banana peel, or you know, whatever. But comedy's all around us, and if they don't see evidence of it in church, they're going to think that it's too removed from reality. And so I think we've got to find ways of having joy and laughter be a part of the overall experience as much as anything else, to connect it to their real lives. If that made any sense at all.
Yeah, good job. Getting a little more specific about some of the stuff that you did in your book, and like my favorite cartoon from your book, What's That Funny Look on Your Face, is the one where it talks about during a lively pickup game of basketball, Peter denies Jesus three times, and it has a picture of Peter like swatting the basketball away from the hoop as Jesus is shooting it. And I saw that, and I was rolling on the floor in tears. I mean, I just thought that was so great and so witty and so hilarious. But again, you know, something like, wow, I just know there's someone out there who's going to say, psh, whatever. Jesus could just make that ball like go around Peter's block and go right into the hoop. Jesus would never miss. I mean, hey, you could turn water to wine. He would never miss a basketball shot. How do you know, first of all, what the line is between funny and offensive? And then, why don't you answer that first, and then we'll get into my next question.
Well, humor is subjective, isn't it? And what is funny to one person might not be to somebody else. That's just the way it goes. I tend to feel that if it's something that makes me laugh, I'm going to figure that it's something that might make a lot of people laugh. And so, I'll think it's worth giving a shot. And that one that you mentioned has proved to be one of the most popular ones. Some people might say, oh, that skates a little too close to the edge because you're having some fun with, this serious moment where Jesus is denied by Peter. I don't know that you could really touch that. But again, I think one of the things that it can do is it can generate discussion. It can bring people into discussion on that very topic, on that very episode in the Bible, and get people who maybe aren't familiar with it asking, well, maybe they don't even see the humor because they don't know what that's playing on. Peter denies Jesus three times. Okay, they're playing basketball. I don't understand. Why is that funny? And a Christian can say, well, here's the root of the joke. Here's where it comes from. And it can even be an evangelistic opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of leads into the next thing that I wanted to touch on. One of the other things I really appreciated about your comics was the fact that it requires a certain level of biblical literacy to, you know, get some of the jokes. I've always appreciated, you know, the more intelligent humor, you know, potty humor. It just doesn't make me laugh. And I was the same way in high school, like when all the guys were laughing at the little noises that they can make with their armpits or whatever. You know, like, I don't get it. Why is that funny? And they, you know, thought it was hilarious. And I've always enjoyed, you know, humor that requires a certain level of intelligence, watching, you know, cartoons like Animaniacs or even Looney Tunes and stuff like that, where they would make reference to something, and I'm like, I don't quite get that, and I'd go and look it up, and then I'd be like, oh, they're referencing, that is funny, you know? I always enjoyed that kind of humor that requires a certain level of intelligence, and your comics do that, you know? If you're familiar with the Bible, man, you're going to get so much more out of some of the comics that you do than if you're, you know, totally biblically illiterate. And I just see your comics as being a great tool, not only for, you know, evangelism, but for getting people interested in studying their Bible.
Yeah, I mean, certainly some of mine lean more towards being inside jokes, in the sense that you do have to have more than a smattering of understanding of the Bible to get some of them. That's for sure. I do try to stay fairly mainstream. By that I mean I'll try to play around with images, episodes, characters who are still fairly in the mainstream cultural iconography and lexicon. So I'll try to do a lot of stuff with, you know, Adam and Eve and Moses and Jesus and the disciples and David and Goliath. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to have much biblical knowledge to know who those characters are, at least superficially, and be able to get a lot of the gags. I could come up with some hilarious joke about, you know, Ezekiel or or Naomi or, you know, Nehemiah, but unless you really are a Bible-toting Christian, you may not get that joke. And so I'm trying to stay as broad as possible. It gets increasingly difficult, but I'm trying to do that still.
Well, I think it'd be cool if you did, like, and, you know, I don't know how commercially viable it would be, but if you just, you know, went for it and did a bunch of cartoons that were based on rather obscure things, and you'd have a certain segment of, you know, Christian society that would think they're hilarious, and the rest of them would be like, what?
That's true, because, you know, even Gary Larson did that once in a while. With a joke that maybe only astrophysicists would really chuckle over. But, you know, it was something that made him laugh, and so he knew that there would be at least a few other people that would make, you know, would laugh, and he thought it would be worth it. So, yeah, I might do that from time to time. We'll see.
I remember a Simpsons where Homer Simpson found a Gary Larson calendar, and he's like, ooh, a Gary Larson calendar. And he starts flipping through it. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, and, you know, and there are people that, you know, would feel that way about my material. There's no doubt about it. I remember being at a dinner party one night, and a guy came up to me and said, I got a chance to go through your book of cartoons. And I said, oh, well, thank you very much. He said, yeah, some of them are funny. You know, and you just don't have to take it, you know, I guess that's a compliment.
That's a good place to start.
But, you know, I guess, what, did he not understand the other?
Yeah.
I will admit that, you know, a lot of my humor comes from what is often called the lowest form of humor, which is puns. I tend to love puns and use them a lot in my cartoons, but a lot of people will say it's, you know, it's a very lazy form of writing, but hey, it seems to work for me.
Yeah, I think it works out pretty well in many instances. 505-338-5790, if you'd like to dive in on the conversation of Christianity and humor, the comedic Christian. Is there really such a thing? I know there's stand-up comedians who are Christians, but what is the ministry value of comedy for a Christian? If you got a comment or a question, 505-338-5790. Now, Kyler, even though this is a, you know, a show about basically comedy and specifically the comics that you write, let's dive into some biblical territory here when it comes to the idea of humor and laughter, at least concerning the Bible. I was doing some studying leading up to the show, and again, not an issue I'd really thought much about, and certainly not an issue I spent a lot of time going through the Bible studying, and I was rather surprised, almost taken aback, as I was going through Scripture, and just about every reference that I found to laughter was almost always in a negative term. Someone being laughed at, someone laughing in a scornful way, someone laughing in a mocking way. You know, the word laughter, laughing, laughed, almost always came up as something, you know, very negative. Even the Bible talks about God laughing, but not like in the joyful way that we've kind of referred to informally. But the Bible refers to God laughing at the fate of the wicked, and, you know, God laughing in a mocking way. And I remember reading those verses like, wow, I don't know how that makes me feel. I'm kind of uncomfortable with the idea that God laughs in a mocking manner towards people. But, you know, there it is in Scripture, so I guess it's true. What's your take on the fact that laughter in the Bible is almost always derogatory and negative?
Well, I think we need to remember that when Jesus came, he said, look, if you want to get to know the Father, then get to know me. In other words, that I, Jesus, will show you the personality of our Father in heaven, of our Creator God, better than anyone else who's come before or will ever come. So watch me. Watch and see what's important to me. Watch how I react to things. Watch how I respond, and you'll get a clear sense of what God is really like. And I think that Jesus really did show a marvelous sense of humor, and a cursory reading of the Gospels, it's easy maybe to not pick up on that right away. But if you decide that you're going to look for that, to see if in fact God does show a sense of humor through Jesus the Son, you can see it. And I'll give you some examples. I think of anecdotes like his preaching to the crowds in Luke, I think chapter 20, about you know, the prideful teachers of the law. And Jesus, he's got this group of people in front of him, and he says, you know, he's talking about the teachers of the law. He says, you know, they like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the banquets. You know, he says that kind of thing, and I can imagine him acting this out a bit, you know, to the delight and fascination of the villagers, you know. And so, too, I think with the parable of the persistent widow, I think earlier in Luke, you know, Jesus is portraying this exasperated judge, you know, who cries out, you know, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. I mean, you know, he really strikes, I think, a very comic tone with some of his anecdotes. I think he also shows a sense of humor, Jesus does, by bestowing, you know, whimsical nicknames on some of the disciples, calling Peter the Rock, you know, and James and John, who were always squabbling and, I guess, loud and obnoxious sometimes, you know, he called James and John the Sons of Thunder. You know, those are nicknames, and nicknames are funny. Generally speaking, I think Jesus must have had a wonderful sense of humor, or else why would he be such a big hit with all the outcasts who loved to be around him? You know, I think he made them feel 10 feet tall. I think he made them laugh. You know, he was often accused by the religious authorities of being too much of a party animal. How could you be accused of something like that unless you laughed a lot? and you're right. The Gospels don't make any mention of Jesus laughing. They do note that Jesus wept, right? So famously known as the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. So there's no record, though, of when he laughed. And I think that that is because Jesus laughed all the time. I think he did it so often that nobody thought to mention it. Nobody who was recording his life in the Gospels thought about it, because it was so often. It was just so much a part of who Jesus was. It didn't stand out. But when Jesus wept, boy, that didn't happen often, so they made sure to record that. But I think he laughed all the time, and it was just so often that they just couldn't even see it. It was so commonplace to them.
Well, I remember a few years back, it was a while ago, actually, probably, you know, a little more than 7-8 years back, when one of the major networks did a miniseries about Jesus, and they did a portrayal of Jesus that was, some people were terming, you know, the surfer Jesus, because he was very buddy-buddy with the apostles, and they portrayed Jesus as constantly smiling and having fun with the disciples, and, you know, running around playing tag, and, you know, goofing off a lot and whatnot. And I remember there was a big uproar about that kind of portrayal of Jesus, because we're all very used to, you know, the portrayal of Jesus where he always spoke in hushed and reverent tones and you know, always looked with those doe-eyed looks, because apparently that's how you portray holy compassion is with the same
right.
With the same bored expression all the time. And I remember a lot of people were kind of stirred by the idea of this kind of lighthearted, carefree Jesus. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, where is that in the scripture? You don't see that anywhere. And I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's dangerous to make those kinds of inferences on the character of Jesus?
Oh, I'm all for it. I mean, you can't make, you know, you don't want to make, you know, Jesus look like Jim Carrey or something. but I think that, you know, Jesus, you know, he was always going around to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and saying, lighten up. You know, lighten up. I think that was one of the things that made Jesus so attractive, as I say, to the outcasts and even to his disciples, that he was so full of life. And you can't be full of life unless you've also got a great sense of humor. You think about all of the people that you're attracted to in your own life as friends, people that you want to spend a lot of time with. And they tend to be people with senses of humor. If you were going to take a road trip, from, you know, Los Angeles to New York, wouldn't you want it to be with somebody with a sense of humor?
That would make things easier.
My dad used to say that, you know, if he were to be stranded on a desert island with with a Christian without a sense of humor or an atheist with a sense of humor, he'd take the atheist any day. And, you know, I think I would too, because, I think it's life-saving, a sense of humor. And so I think Jesus certainly would have tried to get across to his disciples that living out the Christian life also can include a lighthearted approach to much of life. I think Jesus tried to tell people that there are very few things in life that really matter. The things that do, your relationship with God and your love for people, they mean everything. But most other issues are to be weighed very lightly. And so that's why I think he had such a problem often with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the scribes, because they were so judgmental. They put people down. They made people carry these heavy emotional loads, and they weren't to do that at all. Jesus said, "My burden is light." Mm-hmm. So
505-338-5790, and specifically what I'd like to know, if you'd like to call in, what is the ministry value of humor for a Christian? How is humor ministered to you, and can we really call that ministry, or do you think Jesus was funny? Give me a call, 505-338-5790, and let me know what you think about those issues. What is the ministry value of humor, especially for us as Christians, and what do you think? Do you think Jesus was funny? 505-338-5790. And again, you know, saying, "Hey, Jesus was funny," is one of those things that I think kind of causes people to, you know, pause a little bit. Like, whoa, hey, Jesus was here for a very important reason, to save people from sin. And he was the sacrifice for our sin. And he knew he was, you know, going to his death. And there's nothing funny about that. And we're here to save people for all eternity. And that's a very, very serious thing. We got to take that, you know, seriously. And you know what I always thought was kind of funny about Jesus, Kyler, is I love how he never gave a straight answer. You know, when you look through the scripture, people would ask him questions and he would go off on this total other tangent. And that always cracked me up. And, you know, whether that was intentional or not, I mean, I know it was intentional, but intentionally funny or not, I always thought that was absolutely hilarious, how people would ask a question. And I always wondered, well, that was great. He made a great spiritual point, but he never answered that person's question. Did that person just wait around, you know, stand there waiting? That was nice, Jesus, but, you know, I was asking you, your mom and brothers are here. Do you want to see them? and stuff like that. I thought that was hilarious.
Well, and I think to your earlier point, I think you're right. I mean, it's certainly Jesus was on a serious rescue mission, and that can't be discounted. I don't want anyone out there who's listening to think that I don't think that Jesus ultimately had something very serious to accomplish, to save us from our sins. Absolutely. And his death on the cross was the pivotal moment in all of history. There was a time when Jesus needed to be the man of sorrows, as was so often portrayed in all of the medieval art and literature. I'm finding my ministry is to just sort of shed a spotlight on an aspect that is really under. Noticed. Under notice. Mm-hmm. That's not even a word, is it?
But it is now.
That isn't. We'll make it a word tonight.
Yep.
That is often forsaken. This notion that he could be the man of sorrows. He could come on a very serious quest, but at the same time, if you knew the man, he must have had a sense of humor. And that God allows us to be playful with our faith. What I call reverently playful or playfully reverent. And I often think when I'm doing my cartoons that I won't make fun of Jesus. He's in a number of my cartoons, but I won't make fun of him. Anybody else around him is fair game, because they're just like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And we are far from perfect. We're human. We can be laughed at and about. And I'm hoping that through Inherit the Mirth, Christians and non-Christians alike will see that God is a fun God and can be a funny God.
Yeah. We have Pamela on the line. Pamela, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
I believe that he's very funny. I read the Word of God for about 8 hours a day in from Thanksgiving to mid-December, and got me into some trouble. I'm bipolar, and I had to spend some time in the hospital, but he's humorous. He's humorous. I agree. He's very funny.
And what makes you say that he is humorous from what you've read?
Reflecting life, catching up, because in the hospital there are agreements to not speak, like pressure religion on other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just lived, and he just sent his word to me as far as life, showing things to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he expressed himself to my heart, and he's funny. He's a funny guy. He just really is. He makes you laugh, and the people make you laugh, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people that make me laugh, starting with my two daughters.
Uh-huh. And
I'm glad you feel that way, Pamela.
Yeah, he just wants you to enjoy life. Yeah, thank you.
Well, Pamela, thanks so much for calling in. I hope you have a shway evening in the Lord, all right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right, take care. 505-338-5790. What do you think is the ministry value of laughter and comedy? Is there ministry value for laughter and comedy for the church and for the Christian? 505-338-5790 for your questions and comments on that. Now, Kyler, I've noticed during a conversation, it's often come up that laughter and joy are often put together in the same sentence. And you know, I've always looked at joy. Joy isn't a feeling, it's more of a state of being, you know. You can be joyful and yet not be happy. You know, happy is the emotion. Joyful is something that can come from God. And where do you get the equating of laughter with joy?
Well, you're right, Yo. They don't mean the same thing. They're often associated with one another. You're right, but they are different. As you say, joy is much deeper, much more profound, and based on an understanding of what God has done for us, of the security we have in knowing that we will be with Him in heaven, and being able to realize that in the cosmic scheme of things, you know, we have nothing to worry about, having entrusted our lives to Christ, and so there is this rock bottom joy that undergirds everything else in our life, but then laughter often can come out of that that carefreeness that joy can create, that we can afford to be lighthearted in many ways, in many circumstances, because we're assured of where we're going, of our salvation, that supremely the universe makes sense, that there is a God who has created us and loved us, and when you rest in that, it really does allow you to, live at a much more, in a much more lighthearted state of being much of the time.
Now, when you look at humor, comedy, and that subject in the world, often the things that are funny, a lot of comedy, a lot of humor is based on the expense of someone else. You know, it often comes at their expense, something that they did, something embarrassing, something, you know, it always seems to eventually degrade someone else. And so, you know, then my question is, and you even pointed this out, you know, you never make fun of Jesus, but everyone else is fair game. But then, you know, it comes back to the issue, but aren't, as Christians, we're supposed to build each other up. So how can we have this whole ministry, as it were, of comedy, when most of comedy kind of comes at the expense of someone or something?
Well, I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, humor can be mean-spirited if it's aimed at somebody with the purpose of embarrassing them, belittling them, but what a lot of humor will do, or when I'm say making fun of a biblical character, really what I'm trying to do is point out the comedy of of general human foibles and flaws. So whatever I'm making fun of in, say, you know, one of the biblical characters, or a churchgoer, for example, I'm really kind of pointing out, you know, something that I think, you know, is something that's true about me as well, and about humanity in general. That you know, as a human race, we're you know, almost by definition funny because we're imperfect. You know, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to show an appalling lack of judgment and common sense sometimes, and there's great comedy in that. So I think in zeroing in on the particular, I'm trying to actually generalize about you know, the comedy of human nature.
Now, towards the beginning of the program, and once again, 505-338-5790, if you got a question or comment about what is the ministry value of comedy and humor, is there ministry value for the Christian when it comes to comedy and humor? Is there any reason that we should engage in that? What do you think? 505-338-5790, if you got a question or comment about the ministry value of humor, what is the role of humor in the Christian's life? You were talking...
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, that first caller, Pamela, she talked about how she found a lot of, you know, solace from discovering God's sense of humor while she was in the hospital. And everybody knows, you know, that laughter can be good medicine, that that sometimes somebody coming to visit you in the hospital who can tell a joke and get you to laugh, get you to smile, can make all the difference. And a lot of people know the famous story of Dr. Norman Cousins, the physician who discovered that he had cancer and spent some time in a hospital and just found that it was making him worse. So, because it was just such a, sort of a dour and somber sort of atmosphere in the hospital. So he checked himself out, moved back home, rented all kinds of Laurel and Hardy and Buster Keaton and Abbott and Costello movies, and literally laughed himself back to health. He wrote a book about it, about the healing power of laughter. And to me, there's a profound spiritual element to that as well.
Yeah, we'll dive into that here in just a moment. Right now we have Alicia joining us for Raw Talk. Am I saying that right? Welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Well, I was listening to what you guys are saying about how comedies, what's the value of comedy ministry.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's really important just because a lot of people that aren't believers see Christians as a bunch of stiff necks, like just, mm-hmm. Oh, always serious, and oh, we got to be holier than thou. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to have a sense of humor because it shows that we are human and we're just like everyone else. We like to laugh. We don't just want to walk around just holding our Bibles and acting like we're holy all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great that there are people out there that are Christian comedians because it's a different way to reach the world. Because a lot of people, most people, like to laugh. I'd say everyone likes to laugh, so why not laugh at something that's good in nature, that's not about all these other subjects like someone who's drunk or someone who's on drugs and laughing at that. Why not laugh at something that's clean and good?
I think you're absolutely right. And let me just say, you know, you pointed out that, you know, we don't want to just walk around acting like we're holy all the time. And I'm kind of curious, where did we get this concept that holiness and laughter can't go hand in hand? Where do you think that came from?
I don't know.
Alicia, what do you think?
I really don't know. I think that's a lot of, I don't know. The old-time religion's really good, but that's a lot of older things. It's a lot of older people that think, oh, well, if you laugh at something, that's disrespectful. It's not okay to laugh at something because it's not respectful. It's not reverent.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be bad to laugh at it. I mean, it doesn't have to be something bad about a Christian in order to think it's funny.
Right. Well, thanks.
Sophia, do you notice in a lot of Hollywood movies that if there's a Christian in it, it's he or she is usually portrayed as somebody without a sense of humor?
Yeah, that should be changed. That should definitely be changed. Because people think, oh, well, I'm not going to be a Christian because that means I don't get to laugh at anything anymore. That means I just have to be all bummed out and just be miserable all the time because if I laugh, I'm not a good Christian. And a lot of people think that way. I have a lot of non-Christian friends that think, oh, why do you laugh so much? You're not a normal Christian. And I don't think we should be normal Christians. I think we should have lots of fun. I think Christianity should be fun. I don't think it should be a chore or it should be a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should
you
have
keep doing what you're doing, Lucia. That sounds great to me.
Yeah, thanks for calling in and sharing your comment, man. We really appreciate it.
Okay, awesome.
All right, awesome. You have an awesome night.
You too, thanks.
All right. 505-338-5790. If you have a comment or question about the ministry value of humor and comedy, what is the ministry of comedy and humor in a Christian life? Is there such a thing as Christian comedy ministry? And you know what Alessio was saying is something that I've often harped on, you know, the idea of, oh, Christians aren't allowed to have fun because, you know, they can't go out and do the things that are fun. You know, they say those things are bad. And I've always kind of taken the stance, well, who said those things are fun? I mean, who says that what the world does is fun? Yeah, they think it's fun, but who says we have to define fun the same way the world does and along the same lines? Well, who says we have to define funny the same way that the world does? I mean, if you want to have fun as a Christian, well, that's easy to do, but you don't have to define it the same way the world does. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, we need to get this idea of Christian and entertainment. You know, that's not what Christianity is about. We're not here to entertain. We're here to... And I always go, well, maybe we just need to redefine what those terms are, what fun is and what entertainment is and what funny is. Maybe what we need is a redefinition of those things because, you know, I personally think that being a Christian is a lot of fun. I don't do the same things that the world sees as fun, but what I do, I think is a lot of fun. I have a blast as a Christian and I don't see any contradiction there whatsoever. I just don't define fun the same way as the world does.
That makes sense to me, yo. Yeah, preach it, brother.
Well, there we go. Now, Kyler, something you were saying at the beginning of the program, talking about, you know, the somberness of the church and how that's often the perception of the world and whatnot. How much do you think that plays into to the Christians, you know, again, painting with a broad brush here, or perhaps I should say the church's resistance to the concept of humor being a part of the church. Often I have found, and I know this makes a lot of people upset, I find the church to be very funny, not intentionally, but I find, you know, the church to be extremely hilarious. And a lot of times, you know, when they're complaining about how the world is making fun of them, I often have to point out, it's your own fault. You actually behave that way. You're making it easy for them to make fun of you. Something that I often refer to is, you know, The Simpsons has an amazing wit when it comes to Christians. And I know a lot of people think, oh, Ned Flanders, that's a terrible portrayal of Christians. I actually think it's pretty dead on a lot of times. And I've often wondered, someone in the writing group for that show, The Simpsons, had to either have used to have been a Christian or have been raised in the church, because they just know us way too well, because some of those jokes are so spot on. I can't help but laugh because, like, yeah, you got us. That's totally what we're like. Way to go. I mean, you're absolutely. I think we often are our own worst enemy when it comes to, you know, the world making fun of us. And I've often wondered, well, why can't we laugh at the fact that sometimes we are pretty stupid?
Yeah, I think you're right. In fact, I think there's a book out called The Gospel According to The Simpsons that looks at all the biblical references and the Christian sensibilities of the writers on that show, because there certainly are some. And I agree with you. You know, a lot of Christians might be aghast and embarrassed about a Ned Flanders who appears to be such a stereotype of you know, your neighborly evangelical Christian. But I've often thought that the things that the Simpsons pokes fun at about Christianity are the things that it needs to be poked fun at.
Exactly.
You know.
Yes.
So I know a lot of Christians find the show and even its and even lovable old Ned Flanders to be quite endearing and very funny. So I think The Simpsons is one of the most Christian shows on television, because it actually treats religion seriously. It's one of the few shows that regularly has episodes where the Simpsons, you know, and others go to church. In times of crisis in Springfield, everybody gathers at the church, mm-hmm. and it's got a lot of Christian characters on it. Treats it far more treats religion far more as being something woven into the social fabric of American life than almost any other show out there.
Well, you know, I've watched some other shows, and I'm embarrassed to even admit this, but, you know, I've seen some episodes of The Family Guy. I don't watch it on a regular basis. I'm not endorsing it in any, you know, form whatsoever. But, you know, there's other shows out there that takes pot shots at Christianity as well. And it's just like, you know, shots in the dark. You know, it's like,
yeah,
that's so broad. Anybody could make that observation. You know, it's so cliche as to be meaningless anymore. But, the writers obviously still think it's funny. But the thing I've always appreciated about the humor of The Simpsons when it comes to Christianity is it's not broad. It's often very specific. And unless you're a Christian, very often, you won't get the joke.
You won't get it. That's right.
And that's the part that I've always found amazing is that, you know, anyone outside the church would totally not get that. Anyone inside the church is probably infuriated right now, unless they have a very good sense of humor and they say, yeah, that's us. You got me. And I always found that, you know, absolutely fascinating that there's so many shows out there that just, you know, these broad whatever. And yeah, they get a laugh because everyone, you know, thinks that it has to be funny if it's about the church, and yet there's that one show that really understands, you know, the thinking of a Christian and all the silly things that we do and just nails it. We have Dylan on the line. Dylan, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
How you guys doing? How's your night going so far?
That's been a lot of fun so far, awesome. At least for me.
Awesome.
Good, Dylan. Yeah, having a good time.
Awesome.
Thanks for calling in.
It was actually cool. We just had a comedy night at our church in Silver City, so I just wanted to add a little bit. And in my opinion, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, Jesus, you know, had a sense of humor. And I say that because just, you know, how he talked and everything. Like, I was reading through Matthew chapter 7, verse 9, where it says, you know, ask, seek, and knock. And it says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if you ask for a fish, will you give him a snake? You know, and I just feel, you know, how he conducts himself and how he says that. You know what I mean? I don't think it's just always so serious. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I think, you know, there's more of a sense of humor, you know what I mean? And just not so seriousness.
How did your...
I think you're right, Dylan. You made me think of one other example that we're so used to it because it seems like a cliche now, but you think of how fresh and funny it must have been at the time when Jesus said, you know, it's easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Think about how comic an image that is that Jesus
figured
up.
How did your comedy night go? Did it go well?
It was awesome.
A lot of people? Yeah? Did they have a good time?
Yeah. It turned out great, and it's just nice to be able just to have a good time and be able to, you know, just, you know, have fun, have a good time, you know what I mean? So,
how do you think that ministered to people? Did you have anyone, you know, talk about, you know, anything about how that ministered to them being there during the comedy night?
Well, actually, I think it did minister to the first, you know, it's getting, you know, everyone together, you know, it had youth and it had, you know, older, you know, and I just think it really did. It brought us all together and we were able to, you know, have a good time and still focus on God and we were able to pray as a group and a congregation. I thought it was awesome.
All right. Well, very good, Dylan. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you sharing tonight.
Thank you. You guys have a blessed night.
All right. You too. Thanks a lot.
Dylan.
Well, Kyler, it's been an interesting conversation so far, and I just want to, you know, toss in both to you and anyone who's listening. You know, I am not against laughter or comedy in any way, shape, or form. You know, bringing up, you know, hey, the Bible talks about laughter in bad ways. You know, I'm not trying to be down on laughter in any way. I've actually done a lot of stand-up comedy in the church. You know, when I was working with my dad, I've always enjoyed trying to make people laugh almost as much as I enjoy trying to make them think on shows like Raw Talk. So, you know, I've always enjoyed the fact that God has given us a sense of humor. I just find it so fascinating, And I'm sorry if I keep harping on this, but I just find it so fascinating that God basically left up humor as an inference, you know, not directly referenced anywhere necessarily in the Bible. It's always left to your inference, your interpretation of scripture, how things went down, and that it was never, you know, really blatantly said. And you know, you point out the health benefits of laughter, and I agree, you know, the fact that it's so healthy for us, well, you know, I don't think that's an accident. Obviously, you know, that was something that God did intentionally. But again, you know, nothing that really, you know, states that specifically. It's all left up for us to infer. Well, God must have meant this to be. Why else would it be? You know, and why do you think it was left entirely up to inference when it comes to the ministry value of humor and comedy, Kyler?
Yeah, again, I've got no really good answer for you. I don't know why it isn't maybe a little more obvious. I've sometimes thought, you know, would it have totally destroyed God's plan for the Bible if, you know, one of the gospel writers had, you know, written, "And Jesus laughed"?
You know, exactly.
I don't know why it wasn't more obvious. But as the callers have mentioned, and as I've been talking about, and as you understand, and pretty much everybody out there, I think that, you know, a really good reading of the Bible will, particularly if you've got that in mind, I think you'll see God's sense of humor emerging in places all over the scriptures if you're looking for it. And may I just say that, you know, as somebody who's been doing youth ministry for 15 years now, and there may be some others who are involved in youth ministry listening tonight, that you know, as a youth minister, that there's no way you can do good, effective ministry with teenagers without having a sense of humor. It's just not possible. You've got to have a sense of humor, you know, to attract them to youth group through, you know, fun and games and discussion, and just teenagers, you know, by nature are just hilarious creatures at that stage of development, and you know, you've got to create an atmosphere that's welcoming and fun, and so it's not even possible to do youth ministry without having a sense of humor, and therefore it's got to be part of God's plan.
Well, I think it's very hard to be a successful Christian if you don't have a sense of humor. If you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to have a terrible time living a successful Christian life, especially in the face of the persecution, the darkness, and all the stuff that's going on as the world approaches the end days. And, you know, so far as inferring, well, God must have a sense of humor, maybe he just has like a real dry sense of humor, and it's hard for us to get sometimes, you know. Maybe British humor is closer to God's type of humor than anything else. Kyler, why don't you give everyone the website one more time where they can you know, find the stuff that you do and see some of the work that you have available.
Yes, the website is Inherit the Mirth. That's MIRTH, inheritthemirth.com. And you can go there and find out a little bit more about me and, of course, all of the Inherit the Mirth products. From T-shirts to magnets to the books and greeting cards and so on. And also check out your local Christian bookstore. They may be carrying some Inherit the Mirth material. If they're not, demand why they're not and get it in the store and onto the shelves. The book also, the collection, it's called What's That Funny Look on Your Faith, and it's just been out. Came out in September. You can also find it beginning, I think, around Easter. It'll be available in Walmart, and you can also order it from Amazon.com and perhaps soon in Barnes & Noble and Borders as well. But, of course, I want you to support your local Christian bookstore, so see if you can get it there first.
Yeah. Now, one last question. That comic, Peter Denies Jesus Three Times in the Lively Game of Basketball, does that come on a coffee mug?
It might very soon. I'm working out a deal with a company for mugs, and maybe I'll press that we put that one on it just for you, Yo.
All right, I'll be first in line for that. Kyler Black, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and you just have a blessed evening, all right?
Thank you. God bless you and all your listeners.
All right, thank you very much. Kyler Black, you know, the founder and creator of Inherit the Mirth. InheritTheMirth.com is the website, and we certainly appreciate his take on the idea of the humor, the ministry value of humor and comedy and laughter. Well, as everyone probably knows, Steve Madrid, as you probably know, Steve Madrid, my producer, next week is the Super Bowl. And so a lot of people, I imagine, are going to be watching the Super Bowl. And I can only think of the way to attract people to listen to Raw Talk is to have a sexy show. So that's what we're going to do next week. What do you think about that, Madrid? He's putting on his microphone.
Yeah, that'll work.
We had to wait all that time for that.
you're saying, I wonder how we could get people to listen. I thought you were going to say free money.
Well, I thought about that, but I don't have that. and, you know, the fact of the matter is sex sells, not that we're selling anything. And in case you're wondering, oh, Yo is just being totally gross right now.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Well, let me explain. Here's what's going to happen. Jason Illion, he was a former contestant of The Bachelorette, made a stand on that show for sex until marriage. He would not engage in sex before marriage. And big controversy, apparently, that the fact that he would say that on a major network, on a major, you know, reality TV show, and that he would be that kind of person and say, I'm a virgin, I'm proud of it, and I'm going to wait for my wife, and just made people go crazy. But he has a very interesting, you know, concept about the idea that, yes, you can be pure, but there's nothing wrong with Christians also being sexy, being attractive, and being proud of the fact that they can be attractive and sexy. And so it's going to be an interesting show. We'll hear what he has to say so far as dating and marriage and sex and being an attractive Christian. So that's going to be next week on Raw Talk, our special guest, Jason Illion. And who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl, Madrid?
Bears.
Really?
Wait, who do I want to win or who do I think is going to win?
Well, who do you want to win?
The Bears.
And who do you think is going to win?
The Colts.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I think the Bears got a good shot, man. I think they could do it.
Well, it doesn't matter because you're not going to be able to find out anyway because you're going to be here, as is everyone else who's going to join us for Raw Talk. Next Sunday night, 7 p.m. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, and I hope you have a shway evening in the Lord.